To support this podcast, go to PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount is appreciated. Once again, PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Thank you and enjoy the program.
Almost like it never existed, but it fucking did. So do me a favor, go f*** yourself!
Donate any amount is appreciated. Ways you can find me: Instagram at @positive_sarcasm, facebook.com/POSSarcasm, my website positivesarcasm.com. You can comment there, you can email me directly from the website, you can check out all things PS, you can also check out my music reaction channel, which is available through there. I need to update that, sorry. You can check out my posing music if you're a fitness competitor and you're looking for some custom beats, or you can also email me directly with all those questions, concerns, comments directly in my contact section. You can donate there, positivesarcasm.com/donate. You can check out the merchware section there. There's the article archive. There's the old YouTube channel. There's all my audio podcasts available there since 2014. Man, if only I was able to just start doing it on my own from 2014 after the guys parted ways. I should have just been like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. Let's just do it. And I would have had like a solid 10 fucking years of podcasting. Just doing it, basically starting off with a couple of guys. I mean, no disrespect to them, but just, why did I stop? You know, why did I stop? I should just kept going through all of my shit, all of my times and troubles. I should just kept doing it. I should have. I really should have. Anyways. Well, we're back now. I've been doing it for several years straight now, and I'm glad I'm doing it. I started back up in 2019, and you know, I'm glad that we're doing it. So, anyways, you could find me on Instagram, on Facebook, you can go through my website and all my stuff like that. Don't want to lose track of what we were doing today. Oh yeah, if you also want to support this podcast through the Weeble app, the affiliate link is in the description down below. They got Weeble's got a bunch of new shit. They got Robo Invest, which is kind of like a little 401k stock program type for you. So they have you can open your own IRA. You can do Robo Invest, which basically is like take your money, let the AI software invest it as aggressively or as conservatively as you like. You can also do cash management. Basically, right now between 4% and 5% annual percentage return. Basically, just take your money, throw it in the account, and just leave it there. I'm serious. Take your money, because in a savings account, you're not going to get that much. Just take your money, put it in Weeble, and let it sit. And you'll gain 5%. You're just not doing anything with this money. Let it sit there and gain 5%. That's every single day you're getting a little bit, and then it drops twice a month into the account, and it just keeps accumulating. Seriously, you can do this. You can take $10 a fucking week. $20 a week, because what are you going to spend it on? Booze? Bullshit? Women that don't deserve it? Fuck it. Throw it in that account. I'm not saying that personally. I'm just saying, you know, you're going to meet some women in your life. They're just like, oh my God, I should not have bought that one a chicken salad sandwich. But either way, it's like, that's what you can do. Take $10, throw it in there, let it earn that. So there's the cash management, there's the IRA, there's the Robo Invest, and then of course there's stock options, and then of course you can just there's crypto, and of course there is good old fashioned long term or short term trading and investing. So you can do all that stuff available to the Weeble app, and all you gotta do is click on the affiliate link in the description down below, and you'll get free stocks. So basically, paycheck doesn't even have to be out of your first paycheck. You can just take that money that you make at the stocks, you can keep them or you can sell them, and then what you do from there is basically you can sell those stocks, and then you have that money, and then you can listen to whom you think is good for you in terms of investing and use that to start building your portfolio. It's worked for me. I think it's great. I highly recommend it. I am not a certified, you know, person to be talking to, but I can show you the things that I have done in order to, you know, better my financial situation. Do I use the Robo app? Yes, I actually just threw. I said, fuck it. I threw a little chunk of money into the Robo thing, and I put it on super aggressive, and I said, have fun. Let me know what happens. And now I use the cash management one. Also, I take money every week, and I throw it in there, and I'm looking to use that money probably in about 8 to 10 months from now. But it's going to sit there safely doing that thing, gaining 5%. Which is all I care about. So just leave that money in there and let it do the work for you. So anyways, I'm done talking about that, but that is one way you can support this podcast. I have been neglecting the whole... Actually, you know what? One more thing. My buddy Bobby asked me... What did he say to me? Something to the effect of... let's see. He goes, is it me or is it just... Is it just me or does every upcoming movie... just look like John Wick with a different actor? And I'm like, huh, that's a good question. Well, the answer is yes. So I said distinctly that it all started with Taken. So in generally when these movies are made, you're not sure what's taking place. The guy or the person seems kind of like harmless, per se. Seems kind of harmless. You're like, oh, are they ever going to get their daughter back? Or what are they going to do? How are they going to get out of this situation? When Taken happened, the trailer for that movie let you understand what was taking place. So you knew right from the beginning, from the very first trailer, this guy, if he doesn't get his daughter back, he's going to kill everyone. And you're like, oh, this guy knows some shit. This guy... It's so basically, I think it's the antagonists. The antagonists are not the danger. The antagonist is the hero. This is the guy who's going to kill everybody. This one is the one you should be afraid of in the movie. And indeed, he is. He is the motherfucker. Now, there were attempts after this to be like, okay, like, for example, Edge of Darkness with Mel Gibson, where his daughter was killed in the very beginning. Spoiler alert, it's in the fucking trailer. Edge of Darkness is actually a remake. But what happens, like, for example, what happens if in movie Taken, his daughter actually does die? That's where you get John Wick. That's where John Wick comes into play. Because in John Wick, his family, everything he knows and loves, is dead. Or killed, basically. Killed, stolen, taken, gone. He's never getting it back. Okay. That's where Taken takes the next step. It's basically you get John Wick. What happens when they kill when his wife dies, they kill his dog, and they take his Mustang. And it's basically, in that scene, you understand, oh my god, what have we done? We just fucking bombed Pearl Harbor. He is going to destroy us. And you knew that from the trailers and from the talking of the movie, this is what was taking place. Anything after John Wick is basically... So John Wick just took... Like, for example, when Alien was made, then there was Aliens. Aliens took what Alien did and made it more Aliens. Where... John Wick took what Taken made and made it more Taken-y. The stakes were raised. But there's no other stakes above John Wick. John Wick just took what Taken had, used that kind of formula of, you took something from me and now I'm going to take everything from you. But now it's like, you've actually killed everything that I love. Now you're all going to pay. I am the fucking Baba Yaga. I am the boogeyman. There is nothing above John Wick, though. Everything else, I agree with him. Everything else is a copycat. Everything is that unstoppable force, that immovable object. Everything after... Yeah, that's it. There is nothing above John Wick. In my opinion, you can't do anything. You've already taken everything from the man. You've already taken everything. You've already gone the full biblical route. So at that point, he's going to take... He's either going to settle and just... die off and live a terrible life, which is not really... I don't think that would take place. Once you take everything from a man, he's only going to do the devil's work. There's nothing above this. You've taken everything from him. Now he's going to take everything from you. That's it. Everything else after John Wick is just copycatting that copycatting the same formula that Taken essentially represents and John Wick amplifies. And everything else after that is just copycat, like I said. So, just remember that. Taken, John Wick. So, Taken, John Wick, copycats. Throw the rest out the door. Switching gears heavily. I am a fan of doing the Q&A on this podcast, and I've been kind of not doing it a lot lately. I go to dig.com, looked at the Q&As, and I decided to put my own spin on them. I haven't been doing that a lot lately. So, to make up for that, I am going to do the rest of this podcast. I'm going to fucking blast through Q&As on here. I've got 5 pages of good question up, ready to go. And we're going to go through every single one of them. And when we're done, we're done. Okay? No matter how long, no matter how short. We're going to go through each and every one, see what these fucking people's problems are, and know that I can solve the vast majority of them. So, here we go. First world problems in 3, 2, 1. Should I accept the demotion and pay cut my boss gave me after I offered 3 weeks' notice? I'm a director of a department, and when I resigned yesterday with 3 weeks' notice, my boss told me they are going to combine another related department with mine and have that department's director take over as director of the newly combined department. They asked that I wait several days to announce my resignation to colleagues so that I have time to solidify the transition plan. Now my boss is saying that later this week they will put the combined departments into effect and I will be demoted from director to a lower position with a pay cut. And I found out through other channels that there will be a meeting tomorrow to present the reorg plan to the rest of the management team, excluding me, and they're positioning it as that I've quit in response to the impending demotion. In addition to feeling like this situation is pretty messed up and terrible for my reputation, taking the demotion will have financial consequences on my unused vacation payout, which is a fairly substantial amount. Should I announce my resignation to my colleagues now or try to get ahead of the weird spin being placed on this? Or is it going to just add fuel to the fire? And is there any professional way to combat the demotion at this point? I've offered to remain in place to train my successor and aid in the transition, but the demotion wasn't part of the deal. Am I better off rescinding the notice period of my resignation and quitting before it takes place? So here's the okay. This seems like there's some legal ramifications here. All right. So the original response was offer. So a script for saying that they can't say on the notice period if their pay period is cut. I know or ignore the request to keep it quiet for now and start letting people know so that you have more control of the narrative. Okay. So, basically, you offered a resignation. You offered your resignation as this person in the department. Okay? You offered your resignation as a director of a department. You have, therefore, and what they've done is essentially fire you from your position. So, I would say legally, you've already offered your resignation. It's on paper. You've said that you're doing it. And they, in turn, fired you from your position and put you under another position that you didn't sign on for. Legally, if you've written something down, I would get ahead of this, which you probably didn't. They've betrayed you. There's no reason to do this. They've essentially forfeited their right of anything. What they should have done, with 3 weeks left, is essentially just be like, okay. Here's what a lot of companies do. What they do is if you put in your 2 weeks notice or your 3 weeks notice, if they don't want you around, they essentially just get you. They just essentially pay you for the time that you've put notice on for, and they just send you out the door. So you get paid for those 3 weeks, and you get your vacation, but they just send you out the door. A lot of companies will actually do that. They just pay you and kick you out the door, which means that you actually solved nothing to begin with. You actually weren't doing a job that was important. You need to know this going forward. You need to understand that you thought your job was important, but if they're sending you packing with 3 weeks left, your job wasn't important. And you need to think about that when you go for your next interview if you haven't already taken up another position. Or if you already have, think about, are you actually going to be doing something important? Just keep this stuff in mind. But I would get ahead of it 100%, and I would also seek legal consult to say, I mean, if you're, yeah, I get there's at-will employment, but you, if you're a director, you probably have a contract or something, and you need to bring that to the attention of some legal counsel to see what ramifications you have. Because they essentially fired you from your position. You put in your notice with them, they fired you from your position and put you in a different one. That is questionable. And depending upon what state you live in, there could be legal ramifications, not for you, but for them. You didn't sign anything. So you have every right to say and do whatever you want. Okay? And believe me, if a company or a person holds no loyalty to you, you have no responsibility for their well-being or anything that they say or do. So essentially, fuck them, burn it all to the ground, and take everything that you believe belongs to you. Let's move on to the next one. How can I get my introverted daughter to change her... Let me throw this up on the screen, by the way. Pretty sure I have that. Article monitor. There we go. All right. This may seem like a low-stakes question, but I'm truly concerned. My 15-year-old daughter is an extreme introvert and strongly dislikes big groups of people and large events. That's okay. She finds it difficult to make conversation and is seemingly uncomfortable even with talking with some of her classmates. Okay. Even though she's known for years. I'm extremely worried about her and how this will impact her in the future. Ever since she was little, she has been very serious and I would consider her relatively unapproachable. It takes her many years to get fully comfortable with a person and start opening up to them. Alright, so she's closed off. Once you get to know her, however, she's a host of wonderful personality traits. I have talked numerous talks with her about getting out of her comfort zone. I've tried everything from yelling at her to reasoning with her. Okay, I'm glad you tried both ends of the spectrum. Speaking of which, never mind. But nothing seems to work. All I want for her is to show that she is human and not a machine. For some reason, For some reason, me saying this seems to bother her because, as she's told me, she does not think of herself as a robot who is devoid of emotion, and she's sick of people like me saying that she is. It's difficult for me to see her in any other way. However, she rarely expresses strong opinions with me or her father, and often shuts down and refuses to let us know what she thinks during some conversations. Okay. She volunteers at a local natural history museum, which has been great for her. She's passionate about the subjects and seems to enjoy interacting with visitors, other volunteers, and her supervisors. She claims this evidence that she can be outgoing and social when she needs to be, and doing so just takes more effort, but I'm not convinced. I would like her to put this much effort into social and casual relationships, and not just ones where she's expected to perform some kind of task. How can I get her to change her personality so she opens up more easily and enjoys social interactions and gatherings more? I don't think there's any... If there's something wrong with my personality, feel free to go ahead and bring it up. But according to my perspective here, of your daughter's perspective, I don't see any issues here. She volunteers at a local natural history museum. And she talks to subjects about things she's passionate about. She doesn't bother with the fucking social bullshit that's going out there. And have you actually had like social conversations at like get-togethers now? They're fucking garbage. They're even worse than they used to be. It's all political and it's just garbage. I'd rather shoot myself than talk to people at a fucking event or a get-together or whatever. I just, you know, just relax and smile and hang out with my dog and do other things or help out, but I don't think she has to voice her opinion. If she's just stating facts about natural history and stuff, that's great. I mean, you're obviously pushing her to be somebody that she's not really, and it seems like she's a hard worker, which is a good trait. She understands history, which is a great thing. She understands volunteerism, which is fantastic, and she can be social about those things that actually matter. Nothing wrong with her. She's just hyper-focused on these things, and You obviously know she has wonderful personality traits. She just doesn't want to waste them on wasteful people. Great daughter. I think you've raised a good one. You need to chill out and let her be that. I think you're having some social pressure from outside sources, and I think that's your issue. Let's move on to the next one. Let your daughter be who she wants to be. At this point, she seems like a very respectable person. So, that's good. I like productive people. Should my vegan... Here we go, baby. Should my vegan friends be expected to serve meat to non-vegan guests? Sounds like a thing I wouldn't go to. Our group of friends turns eating dinner at another's homes. Four of the five couples eat most foods, and one couple is vegan. When the couples make food at our homes, we both make meat and at least one vegan dish plus vegetables, salads. The food is always good. However, when we go to the vegan couple's house, they only make vegan food. This does not sit well with some of the couples who think they should at least prepare or purchase non-vegan food for others, since the non-vegan couples go out of our way to prepare a vegan dish. They say they cannot cook any meat, cheese, or dairy products in their house as a rule. Okay. One of the couples wants them to stop making vegan dishes altogether at their house, and a vegan couple can fend for themselves. This is causing a rift in our group. How do we resolve this? Okay. Now, what is vegan food? Vegan food essentially has no products made of actual animals. Now, let's be perfectly honest. When you make vegan food, you are absolutely slaughtering thousands of ground animals and deer and birds and just chopping them up and mincing them into tiny little pieces while you destroy the fucking soil with your monocrop agriculture bullshit. Let's not kid each other, okay? But the actual food itself is, you know, essentially just vegetables. It's just grains. And vegan food, unless you're on some specific diet, which a vegan is a diet, and also a lifestyle, a rather annoying one, it's not bad. Look, you can make anything taste good. I'll be perfectly honest with you. Depression-style cooking, a lot of the times meat was not available. In the early 20th century, when the Great Depression was about, people couldn't find... There was no meat. There was no steak. There was very cheap stuff. There was very simplistic ingredients. The stuff you dug up from the ground. The stuff you scavenged throughout the house. The cheap grains. Everything. Everything you put together was basic ingredients. Like, alveo olea is like a... it's just pasta with olive oil and a little bit of garlic and some parsley. It's basically it's a poor man's pasta. Horace pasta is the same thing. It's just the leftovers. Pasta puttanesca, also known as Horace pasta. It's just the leftover shit that you gave to the Cretans, to the plebs. It's just leftover meats and stuff. But it's become expensive staples at some restaurants. But there's no real meat in it per se, or animal-based products. So if you're just making depression-style cuisine and you don't have any meat available, you can, as long as the vegan people know how to cook, I don't see a problem with it. I don't have an issue here. If you're gonna go to your house and you're gonna cut out one meat, they're willing to cook, you know. So I don't see an issue with that. You guys make a vegan thing for them, and they seem appreciative of it. And it's a rule in their house. So are you going to go into a Jewish person's house and force them to cook pork? And I mean like an Orthodox Jew or an Hasidic Jew. They don't eat pork. So you're going to make them make bacon? So, Episcopalians. No, pescatarians. they eat fish, you know. So in Indian people, they don't eat cow. They don't eat like beef. I think their cows are sacred in India. So you don't have to force them. You just accommodate them. Everybody's different. You know, everybody's a little different. They got their rules. They got their laws. They got their values. I say it's one time. It's one time. You get a bunch of friends. You make a vegan plate for them. Whatever the fuck that is. It's cauliflower pizza or some bullshit, or you know, just a pasta dish with like potatoes and red sauce, and that's it. You don't put any meat in it. It's fucking delicious. Absolutely delicious. Seriously, I mean it. So give that a whirl. You don't have to go for the soy boy bullshit. You can literally just do a depression style cooking. It's how it's how the fucking Italians did it. It's how the Italians did it. It's not a big deal. Move on to the next one. What should I say to let people know I notice they're fat? What do I say to two neighbor guys who are overweight? You don't miss many meals, do ya? Is what I want to say, but that seems rude. Somebody should say something also. Also, a family member has a good friend of mine who's getting fatter every time I see her. I think it's just bad. I must be bad for their health. Okay. Let's not kid it. Okay. Two things here. Number one, it's not your place to say anything. That's that person's life, and as long as they're useful to the community, you just get on with it. They're fat. Being fat isn't healthy. It isn't, okay? There's body size and health. There is a problem here. If you get fat, you're being bad to your body, okay? But that's on you, okay? I know fat people. I do. I know fat people who don't take care of themselves, but I respect the positions that they're in and the things that they do. But I do make fun of them for being fat because they come against me. But if they're making fun of me, then yes, I have every right to make fun of them. But if they're just nice people, but they got their jollies off on fucking, you know, mochaccinos and stuff like that, it's okay, fine. They're just cherry people. They're fucking fat, and they're probably going to have type 2 diabetes. But, you know, like I said, you're not going to change them. It's not your thing. Don't bother. Don't go out of your way to think you can save the planet by being a giant asshole. Leave that to me. Let's move on to the next one. What should I tell people who recommend TV shows that depict situations that go against my moral standards? Can you please tell me how to respond when family or close friends recommend a particular TV series to watch, only for me to find out that the show is full of situations and dialogue that go against our moral standards? I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings or by telling them that we object to their suggested programming. You just say, you know, I'm just not into that stuff. It just doesn't work for me. It's like some people say, I don't like watching movies that have, like, you know, graphic rape scenes. You know, and that's respectable. Watching a rape in a movie is fucking rough. Even, you know, it is. It's just watching a movie with a rape scene in it is tough. It's just like for any straight dudes, like, if they saw, like, a fucking two dudes on each other in a movie, like, Jesus, didn't expect that to happen. But that, it does. It kind of startles you a little bit. But for some people, it really, really, really bothers them. Some people don't like super graphic movies. Some just, they just don't, because there's a time and a place for them, and sometimes it doesn't work for you. And honestly, investing your time in TV shows and movies and music, it's really like a personal thing. It's really, you're into that, and you're only into that. And that's to be respected. Like, you know, some people just don't like Marvel movies. And you know what? The latest, I don't fucking blame you either. That's your thing. That's your specific thing. And that's all you have to say is, why don't you watch it? It's like, I'm not really into that type of stuff. It's just not really for me. That's it. You know, it's just like when somebody recommends a band to you or something. It's like, it's just not my thing. That's it. Yeah, it's just not my thing. Just not into it. Sorry. It's not for me. I'm, you know. So, and that's what you do. You just kind of... And that's it. You're done. You're out of the situation. You're out of the fucking conversation. That's what I would do. Move on to the next one. Isn't it weird that my boyfriend is taking me on an anniversary trip to Bermuda where I've always wanted to go? Yeah, so he could fucking kill you and leave you there. I've always wanted to go to Bermuda. My boyfriend has booked a trip there to celebrate our third anniversary together. What I don't like about the plan is it just happens to be where he and his ex-wife also had their honeymoon, and he's often told me about what a great time they had there. My sister and a couple of my friends think this is more than a vacation and that my boyfriend will propose to me while we are there. I'm ready for the proposal, but I'm also weirded out and annoyed by his picking the same place where he and his ex-wife spent their honeymoon. Am I being weird, or is he? I'm also a little disappointed he couldn't be more creative in his planning. Let's see. You've always wanted to go there. He's fucking taking you there. And if he proposes to you, great! Say yes, suck his dick, and get on with life. What are you so worried about? Who gives a shit? There's a reason it's his ex-wife, okay? That's the ex-person in his life. He's not with them anymore. He's taken you there. And even if he's doing it to spite his ex, who gives a shit? You're in Bermuda. You know how fucking expensive Bermuda is to travel? It's like two Bahamas. It's fucking... It is expensive to go to Bermuda. It really is a white-collar type of island. So, listen, if you're going to Bermuda, shut up, say yes, put out. Let's move on to the next one. All right. Next section of Good Question. Once again, if you have questions, concerns, comments, go to my website, PositiveSarcasm.com. You can also email me directly, PositiveSarcasm@Outlook.com. I got so many messages, and I'm going to ignore them all until we finish this podcast. Here we go. What should I do after... Did I say... Okay. Yeah, website. Website, PositiveSarcasm.com/donate if you want to donate to this podcast. Or you can email me directly or go to my website, PositiveSarcasm@Outlook.com, or go to the contact section of my website. Anyways, what should I do after discovering that my daughter-in-law had been investigating a tragic car crash I was in 30 years ago? I just found out my stepson's wife has been looking into the death... What? The death 30 years ago of my high school boyfriend and the loss of a child. That she has been doing this makes me uncomfortable. It's none of her business, so I don't understand why she has made freedom of information access requests. Contacted the hospital, thankfully without any success, and ordered copies of local papers to try and find coverage. She also contacted my old schoolmates, which is how I found out about it. The problem is that I have no idea what to do now. I feel like she has overstepped the bounds of decency so thoroughly that I can't imagine a proportional response. When I imagine talking to her, I can only visualize hitting her or spitting in her face. Okay. Obviously inappropriate reactions. Okay. But I am extremely angry, and I don't get angry often. Right at this moment, I don't see how I can have any relationship with this woman, and by extension, my stepson, going forward. I repeat that she has no viable reason to pry into my past, and to this extent, except some terrible punishment, prurient curiosity about my pain. I know it sounds dramatic. I feel ridiculous for how upset I am, but I feel violated. I can't sleep. Am I wrong? Am I being unfair? Is there some way I can look at this that doesn't disgust me? For the record, I don't talk about this because it's painful. However, there's no dark secret for her to uncover. It was a car accident. I unexpectedly miscarried at the hospital. I hadn't known I was pregnant. My daughter-in-law is no relation to me, my late boyfriend, or the woman in the other car. Well, if you... looking into the death? What is to look up? This woman sounds fucking weird. And if you found out about it and you haven't confirmed... If you haven't talked to your stepson... Wait a minute, hold on a second. Your stepson's wife. So you have a stepson... Okay, so you're with this guy, so not the guy, but a new guy. That new guy has a son. His son's wife is looking into your shit. All right. You need to bring it up with your husband, then bring it up to the stepson, and then the wife needs to be confronted. And if this isn't successful, you're not talking to them. This person's fucking weird. Like, flat out, that is weird. That is weird, really. Why is she doing it? That's a great question, but it is, unless you did something wrong, but I don't see it here. There was obviously a car accident and blah, blah, blah. There's nothing to gain. That's the thing. What is to gain by finding out maybe you did something wrong? There's nothing to gain here only than tearing a family apart. That's the kicker. So, I mean, if I was the searcher, the freedom of information requester, I would stop what I'm doing because all you're doing is you're about to rip a family apart. And if you're the person who's being searched on, I would say something. Absolutely. There's no reason why you shouldn't. Let's move on to the next one. Actually, sip of water. What's up, Pops? You better. Why won't anyone buy my customizable networking t-shirts? Several years ago, I was frustrated with the way people went about looking... for jobs. I'm a small business owner, and even before running my own company, I always networked. Through networking, I managed to do so much. Today, I run six networking groups. Get it out. Again, several years ago, I created a t-shirt designed to network for you. It lists various fields, each with a checkbox by it, and comes with a small Sharpie so you can check off the type of job or career you desire. By wearing the t-shirt everywhere you go, it starts the job-seeking conversation. I marketed them inexpensively to college grads. I went to colleges, job fairs, and even graduations. Not one t-shirt sold. I was so angry. I was in popular talk shows and in the paper and still nothing. Today, I sit with every size t-shirt in my garage. Many ask why I still don't pursue this idea. They are the ones who got the idea and believe in it. Perhaps I was ahead of my time. I marketed towards college grads who texted as a main form of communication. However, today communication is even worse. Young adults can barely look someone in the eye. Please tell me what your opinion is of my t-shirts. I hope that they would hope to wear them daily and maybe while filling their gas tank. This will start a conversation that would change their lives forever. Networking will always be the way to get what you need. Referrals, physicians, mechanics, plumbers, electricians, landscapers, housekeepers, financial advisors, accountants, babysitters, trainers, real estate agents, tutors, and whatever I have missed. Am I wrong? Would a product help those unable to network? Well, look, if nobody wants to buy it, nobody wants to buy it. But if you have a website that people can actually go and buy this shit, that may make it... Maybe you are marketing them the wrong way. I don't know. You know what would be way easier is if people had a shirt that just said single or a shirt that said taken. That would be perfect. That's a shirt that actually might sell. So if you literally have a t-shirt with a checkbox that just says single, then there you go. That's a great t-shirt. Then people know you're single. I like your shirt. That's a good shirt. That would probably work. Try selling that one. And you maybe it's the right idea, maybe the wrong network though. Maybe you should try checkbox type shirts and just make a website full of them. But you need to drop ship them. You have all these sizes, which was a bad idea. You should do the drop ship approach so that when somebody buys them, then it goes to another website and you just get the percentage of somebody actually clicking on it and buying it. I think that makes the most sense. Takes all the overhead off of you. That way you don't have to make the huge purchases. You just need to do the creating of the website. I mean, you don't make as much money. You don't make as much money, but you don't have all that bullshit overhead. So that's something to consider. But the site, I mean, I don't hate the idea, but I'm not much of a networker either. So I just happen to be in a situation where networking is, you know, fucking, you don't really have much of a choice. But I say a lot of stupid shit, so maybe networking isn't for me. Let's move on to the next one. What should I say to let my neighbor know I've got... what should I say to let my neighbor know I noticed she got cosmetic surgery? I bumped into our neighbor in the lobby of our building. I hadn't seen her for a while, but it was obvious she had undergone extensive cosmetic surgery. Not to be judgmental, but I can't imagine she thinks no one notices. I felt uncomfortable having a conversation without addressing the elephant on her face. And it seemed disingenuous to say, "You look wonderful. What have you done? How would you have handled this?" You know what? You don't have to lead to it. You just say, "How are you? How are things? What have you been up to?" I had a conversation actually with somebody, I think, and it was literally about how to have a conversation. Like, because conversations shouldn't be leading. You shouldn't be like... Networking is not a conversation. Networking is you're trying to get to a point where, like, hey, what do? I do this, blah, blah, blah. You're leading to something. You're not asking genuine questions. Or you're not trying to force a topic into the conversation so you can put your points across. This is why I don't talk much to people. So, start with these. Hi, how are you? How have you been? What you've been up to lately? You look different. You look a little different. You can say that. If somebody changed their face, you can ask, "You look different. You seem different." And let them open it up. If they say, "I got a little surgery, you know, I got a little work done." "You did?" I mean, is this... First of all, you're not saying whether or not it was a good surgery or not. You're saying the elephant on her face. Did she grow an elephant or did she get rid of one? These are the things we have to parse out. If it looks great, be like, "You look different. You seem different. How are things?" If she had this enormously giant fucking schnoz in her face and she had that thing chopped off, she obviously was cognizant about it. She was conscious of it. It was bothering her, and it needed to go. So if she made that decision and invested the money into it, then she wants, what do you call it? That, you know, that acknowledgement of this actually taking place. So you should, you know, start with these things. Hi, how are you? What you been up to? How were things? How are you feeling? You know, you look different. You seem different. And go there. And just kind of pierce the outlines. Work on the outskirts of the bubble. Don't dive right into it and be like, did somebody chop off half your fucking face? Let's move on. You get my point. Let's move on to the next one. Does my mother, who blames me for every health issue I have a right to know about my hysterectomy? I had a hysterectomy recently, and I have shared this with just a few trusted people. I was adamant about not sharing this with my mother. In the past, when I've shared info about any health issue, large or small, I've regretted it. She always manages to imply that something I did wrong caused my problems. You wear too much eye makeup, so naturally you have dry eyes. You are too competitive in sports, so naturally you have knee pain. You don't follow my advice on nutrition, lifestyle, or whatever, so naturally you have X. She then has relentlessly offered unsolicited advice, and if I choose to ignore her helpful suggestions, I'm warned that I could have further health issues. I'm extremely healthy, live an active lifestyle, and this was my first surgery, and I'm beyond pregnancy age. The surgery was successful, and I'm getting on with my life. My issue is my husband. He says that this surgery is a big deal, and as my mother, she should know. I completely disagree. I don't see any benefits for me or her in sharing this information. So I understand hysterectomies. I understand what you're doing, and I understand the value in actually having this. You've lived your life where you are beyond the range of pregnancy, and I understand a lot of women actually go through hysterectomy surgeries in order to have a more comfortable life. And it is, at this point, a simple procedure. It actually isn't that big of a deal. I mean, it is a deal, for sure. Any surgery would be, because, you know, they put you under with drugs, and sometimes people don't wake up. It does happen. There are complications. However, this is considered a minor surgery. They go in there, they zip, they tuck, they cut, they rip, they sew you back up, and you move on with your life. So, whoever is like telling you that guilt trip bullshit doesn't work on me, you just be like, listen, fuck you, I'm doing what I want. If your husband wants to have a vasectomy, well, it's his nuts, it's his business. If you want to have your uterus removed, well, you got a uterus and you want to get rid of it, you got to get rid of it. It is your decision. It is your decision. If you can afford to do it, you got the deductible to whatever, go ahead and get it done. You know, it's not a matter of you have a uterus and he doesn't. It's you have a thing and it is bothering you and you want to get rid of it. But it is bothering you. Like, it seems like you physically you're having an issue with this. I mean, you say you're extremely healthy, you live an active lifestyle, and you never had, and this is your first surgery. This is your first surgery? Oh. So obviously you want to, and the surgery was successful and I'm getting on with my life. Then there you go. The surgery was successful and I'm getting on with my life. Okay. So you've already had the surgery. Well, then there you go. Tell your husband to shut the fuck up. More importantly, tell the mom to shut the fuck up. Just handle it. You've moved on. It's done. It's done. It's over. So there's no reason to like blah about it. It's done. Okay. What do we got going on next? Let's keep this party train going. There is a whole new world that you need to explore. I got this new desk. It's not new, obviously, but I got this other desk, and it sits a little lower, and I can't slide my chair in, so I have to kind of like reach. But if I go like this, I'm like right in the range. But I'm still trying to figure it out. It's cool though. It's a little more. It's way easier to like, you know, put shit on here. The other table just wasn't working. So, anyways, move on. Should I tell my daughter that I'm not giving her beloved third grade teacher a gift because the teacher is disorganized? We'll give her a fucking organizer. My daughter's third grade teacher is pretty awful. She's not abusive in any way, but she's disorganized, grades inconsistently, and doesn't deliver helpful feedback to students and parents. May is Teacher Appreciation Month at the school, and although I have disposable income, baller, I don't feel like donating money to her as a gift. The problem is that my daughter loves her teacher and keeps asking if I donate it. Should I tell her the truth that I'm not planning on donating anything? If you got disposable income, and maybe this teacher needs like an organizer or something, and obviously if your daughter loves the teacher, that means that she loves learning what the teacher has to say. So you don't go to the school, the daughter does. I know you pay for the school, my taxpayers, blah blah blah. I think you're in a position where you should donate a little bit. Obviously, I'm not asking you anything. I'm not asking you or telling you. I'm just saying it's not a bad idea. If your daughter really, really appreciates that you're willing to part with your money in this way, I don't see a problem with it. I'd say give a little. Because your daughter is the most important thing. Absolutely. Your daughter is the most important thing. You should absolutely make sure that she's happy and she understands what good of a dad you are. Or mom, whatever the fuck. Yeah, I don't know which one you are. But as a parent, there you go. You got disposable income. You want to keep your daughter happy. Come on. Little dough. No big deal. Anyways, move on to the next one. Cranking away on this week's Full Blast Q&A. Am I right to be hurt by my dad's double standard for who owes whom Mother's Day wishes? My father won't wish me Happy Mother's Day, saying it because I'm not his mother. My father won't wish me Happy Mother's Day because I'm not his mother. I'm the mother of his only two grandchildren. Meanwhile, I'm expected to wish his wife, my stepmother, a Happy Mother's Day. They were married when I was 21 years old. I reminded him that people do not wish others who aren't their own mother a Happy Mother's Day. And he said I should think of my stepmother as my mother. I told him I'm hurt by this. He knows it's important to me to hear a wish from him, but it doesn't happen. Am I right to be hurt by his double standard? What is the protocol, if any, for extending good wishes on a Mother's Day? If you're a good mother, you are a mother, which means Mother's Day is meant for you. Okay? There is no happy stepfather's day. There is no happy stepmother's day. It doesn't there. But you get appreciation for being a stepfather or stepmother. But when it comes to Mother's Day, if you're a good mother or a good father, or like Father's Day, if you're an actual mother or an actual father and you're good at it, you deserve appreciation. That's all. That's it. Cut and dry. Say it. Write a note. Send photos. Whatever. This one's pretty black and white, okay? All right. Let's move on to the next set of Q&As. Let's keep it going. Am I wrong to object when my husband buys himself a first-class plane ticket while my kids and I fly coach? Oh, I think I've already done this one. Yes, I've already done that one. So we'll move on to the next one. Here we go. This was good. Should I tell my friend the guy I set her up with isn't asking her out again because she ordered a glass of milk at a bar? I am a married woman. Not me, but this woman in the thingy. Just set up a single male coworker and a single male friend of mine on a blind date. He's a sharp guy who's traveled the world and knows all about fine foods, wines, classical music, designer labels, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. She's a stunningly beautiful and intelligent artist. I really thought they'd make a great couple. Immediately after their date, though, my friend thought it had gone well and was very excited. On Monday morning, I asked my coworker, and he said a friend was attractive and a nice person, but he wouldn't be asking for a second date. My friend has been bewildered by her difficulty in finding a steady relationship, so I pressed him as to why. He told me they went to a swanky bar, and she ordered a plain glass of milk. He found this so clueless and childish that he couldn't imagine being with her. Now my friend is neither a big drinker nor a teetotaler, just someone who's going to order what she wants without worrying what the others think. Should I tell her why she won't be hearing from this guy again, so she can reconsider ordering milk on dates for the future? Should I tell him how ridiculous he is for judging someone for something so petty? Why did you fucking put these two together? You obviously weren't paying attention.
You should know what these people are. She's a milk drinker. She's not a fine food, wine, classical music, designer, label, world traveling type of bitch. She's not that. She's not that girl. She just likes her milk. She's got fucking strong bones. She got good muscles. She's got that titty fat. She's just not for this guy. This guy should have taken her to a... You know what this guy should have done? Be like, good, I'm going to take you to a fucking milkshake bar. I'm going to take you to like a milk bar. I'm going to take you to a place that serves fucking sick ass milkshakes, like a diner or something like that. And we're going to chill and talk over, fuck this guy. Take her ass to a fucking diner at 2 a.m. Get her a fucking chicken and waffles and a big old milkshake. Strawberry, malt, vanilla, one of those egg fraps or whatever. Get like a milkshake. Be like, let's get the fuck out of this stupid overpriced ass wine bar with the dry ass fucking cheese and the white collar assholes who are stealing your money on fucking Wall Street. Let's go hit up the local diner, you know, the Roundabout in Portsmouth. Let's go sit there and get a peanut butter milkshake. And we can talk about, and we can really get casual. I don't got a problem with this chick at all, actually. If a chick goes to a bar and orders a milk, honestly, you know, be perfectly honest with you, they make some good ass milk drinks. They do. I mean, you can get like a White Russian. You can get you can get like a Kahlua and maple cream or something like that with milk. Or believe me, there's plenty. There's tons of those milky ass drinks. But if she just wants a plain glass of milk, first of all, you fucking totally fucked this up. You fucking totally fucked it up. You put a milk drinker and a world traveler together. Sorry. He's obviously... She's just a milk drinker. Maybe she grew up on a dairy farm. How do you know? You wouldn't obviously fucking ask because you're an idiot. I'm with the chick on this one. I mean... You go to a... Sorry, I don't drink. Well, what are we doing here? Let's go... You want to go to a fucking... That's what I would say. Be like, hey... You know, we sit down and everything like that. Why do you want a glass of milk? Just milk? I'm not a big drinker. Oh! I'd be like, well, what are we doing here? Oh, I don't know. Why don't we go to the fucking diner? Why don't we go grab a couple milkshakes and we'll talk about this? You know, I'm not lactose intolerant. Neither are you, right? Let's go to the diner. Let's just get the talking check. Be like, sorry, we're gonna go to the diner. We're gonna go sit. We're gonna go get some pancakes or some waffles. Get her a chocolate shake and we'll just try this instead. It's way more casual. She's probably gonna like it. She's probably gonna smile. You're gonna be like, why don't we get out here? Go get a milkshake. Be like, okay, you know, that's the way I would do it. Yeah, there you go. I like that idea. I'm actually into that. I like that question. That's like, I like the chick in this question here. The swanky bar bullshit. Ugh, so garbage. Move on to the next one. How can I get my daughter-in-law, a stay-at-home mom, to drive several hours per week to take care of my mother? My mother is 78 and requires 24/7 care. I'm working full time. My son and daughter-in-law live about 2 hours away with their kids. My son is a doctor, and my daughter-in-law quit working when she was pregnant with her oldest. Since she quit, I've been asking every few months whether she can come by once or twice a week to watch my mother. They always say no. When I was there last month, I sat them down and asked why my daughter-in-law is so unwilling to help with my mother, and when she isn't working. I feel I'm owed an explanation. They do not give me one, but offered a substantial check for home health aid. My mother was adamant that we do not hire strangers or put her in any home. My son knows this, so I don't understand the money. I also know his education was expensive. Their house is new, and she doesn't work. Where is this money coming from? I don't feel like this is adding up. What do I do now? I would... If they're offering money to have somebody professional help your mother out. They don't have to be in a home. They can just hire somebody to come and clean up or things like that. It's around the house. It's not somebody who teetotals after them, fucking, you know, right behind them like a shadow. It's just somebody to help around with the house. You know, you don't have to mow the lawn, Mom. You got fucking Fuego here. He's going to take care of the lawn or whatever. But they offered a check. They offered something. All right. It's not like they said, fuck you, we're not doing it. It's like a thing. They actually offered something. So I think you should take that and use it to your advantage. Okay, move on to the next one. Is there a polite way for me to insult my neighbor on social media? Nope. Let's see. I'm going to brief through this one really quickly.
well known for being troublemakers, maintaining cold, distant relationship, famous disrespectful ways. We've already warned them about gossiping. Okay. All right. I had to request intervention from the police due to them constantly blocking the entrance to my garage. I need to know if there's something polite I can write in my social media feed, which they follow, to the effect of the original owners I always remember for their excellent behavior, respect, good boundaries, and friendly relations. No, do not take it to social media. If they're blocking your driveway, you call a tow truck company and you have the car towed at their expense. That's what you do. That's exactly what you do. You say there is a car. That's what they do in Jersey. So if you have a car blocking your driveway, they are not in a legal parking spot, which means that a tow truck can literally come along, latch off, and tow the car away, and the owner has to spend money to go and pick it up. If you've asked them several times to do this, and they don't behave, you tow their fucking car. And the freaking tow truck driver will come along, rip their car off the ground, sometimes with a police escort, and tow that bitch away. That's what you do. At this point, if they're not neighborly, they're just residents of the neighborhood. And at that point, that's how you handle it. I would also recommend having a gun if you're in one of those states that actually believes in America. I would definitely get one of those because this shit looks like it's going to get weird. But they obviously do things that are... I mean, obviously, yeah. You should basically make sure you have a nice big fence so you don't have to see their bullshit. Make sure that everything that they're doing is... Well, no, don't focus on it. Anything that they do that's illegal, violation of noise ordinance, parking in front of your driveway, leaving shit on your front lawn, anything that's against possible HOA or neighborhood fees, anything that, you know, lowers the property value of your home, there's state, county, local town laws about, you know, how your place should look, and you just report those. You just do that, and you just follow the rules of law. There's a car parked in my driveway. Come tow it. Boom. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. And that's how the party gets started. Just be prepared. It's not going to go over easily. Keep your shit locked, too. And put up cameras. But just on your property. Don't make the cameras look over into their area. Don't do that. Cameras in your area only. Don't point it at their shit. That's an invasion of privacy, in my opinion. Let's move on to the next one. Am I justified in refusing to speak to certain members of my wife's synagogue due to the grudges I hold against them? My wife is a synagogue president. Ooh. The high rabbi. Which is a highly visible position. Yeah, because she's... Never mind. She has come across far more people than I've ever have. First, she has a so-called friend of her from time... Friend from her time at Mary Kay. This woman was a pushy lady who once called my father a loser. She does that... Woof. She denied ever saying that. My spouse says that she does not... She doesn't believe either of us because she does not hear the conversation herself. For a time, she insisted that we continue to socialize with this person and her husband, but I refused to continue to do so. In addition, my spouse wants me to remain sociable with a couple who came into our home on New Year's Day. I said Happy New Year to both, and they said absolutely nothing in return. This second couple has never invited us to their residence. As synagogue members, I stay away from them and will not acknowledge them. Then the husband saw me in our on-site restaurant area and tried to initiate a conversation. It took me 3 times to tell him to stay away, and he finally did. He doesn't understand why I stay distant. My spouse doesn't think that he is evil. What is your best advice? I stand my ground and will not allow any of these people to get near me. Am I justified in doing such? If people are being nice, you can be nice back. If they're dickheads or two-faced fucks, sure. Do whatever you want. But just understand that. And, you know, like I said, a church is like a school. It travels fast. The information travels fast. You'll know who said it, and you can confront them for doing so. But if you don't want to get into, like, you know, if you want to just be pleasant, nothing wrong with being a little pleasant, all right? But if you think everybody's evil, that's not good. That's actually on you at that point. Let's move on to the next one. Do I have to apologize for using the N-word while quoting a joke as a white person in front of a black guest? Oh, no. My son is a comedian. When his comedian's friends come to my town for gigs, I put them up. Recently, I hosted a black friend of his. I am white.
and we talked about a famous black comic. I paraphrased one of the comic's jokes that impressed me. A TV censor allowed the comic to use the N-word, but objected to his use of the gay slur. When the comic asked why, the censor said, because you're not gay. The comic replied, well, I'm not the N-word either. This is the Dave Chappelle joke. It's a very, very clever joke. I used the full N-word, and as the comic had for accuracy later, the guest told my son that I had language made him feel unsafe and that I'm a racist. You're not a racist. My son is angry with me, but I'm stunned that he and his friends can't distinguish between quoting an anti-racist joke and being racist. Do I have to apologize? Here's the problem here. You're not the comedian. Your son's the comedian. Let your friend be the funny one. You don't have to... First of all, the comedians know the joke. The comic knows the joke. You don't have to reply to him. It's like, so you brought I Am White. We talked about a famous black comic. And, yeah. Well, you can just... You're not the comic, so you're not in that realm. You understand, comics are a tight-knit group. And if you put the comics up all the time, it doesn't give you the right to just kind of, like, say it out like that. It's... You understand, you're going into a word that is, it's a hard word. It's like a, it's a hard word. Like, when you say it, you don't say it, you're saying it in conversational form. You're not the comic. You understand, when you're saying that, you're diving into it. So, you could say whatever, first of all, you could say whatever you want. I get it. You can say whatever you want. If you don't want to apologize, then just don't do it again. This is a hard one. But what did the person say? Later, the guest told my son that my language had made him feel unsafe and that I'm a racist. I feel like you went out of your way to actually say this, to actually go to this. So you saw a guy, you knew he was black. Okay, there's a guy here. He's black. I'm gonna talk to him about the Dave Chappelle joke that mentions gay slurs and the N-word. You obviously are a terrible conversationalist. And you can... And you know what? In this case, you could show him the bit, but he knows the bit because he's a fucking comic. Comics read up on this shit. Every comic knows who Dave Chappelle is. Every comic knows Dave Chappelle's bits. Every comic knows that particular Dave Chappelle bit. You don't have to repeat it to him. You did this because you're trying to add value to yourself in this conversation as one of the comedy friends, but you're not. You're just somebody who puts them up. This ain't your game. Stop trying to fit in the court, okay? You're one of those people that walks into a black neighborhood and goes, "What's up, ma?" It's like, nope, don't do it. Don't finish the sentence. You're not there. You're fucking white. It's okay. Just be white. It's okay being white. There's nothing wrong with being white. But that's where it ends. They know the bit. You don't have to bring it up to them. It's like, have you ever seen John Wick? And then you're like, it's like, yeah. But it's like, remember the whole scene where this and that? And you get into it. They know the movie. Remember that part? A little bit. You dabble in it. You don't over-describe it. They know the shit. They've seen the movie. They know the jokes. They know Dave Chappelle. You just overemphasized it. Okay. If you want to, I mean, there's obviously, you have your time and place for these things, but this was the worst, one of the worst scenarios. Well, actually, this is definitely not the worst scenario. I could think of worse scenarios. This one, obviously, you went out of your way to do it. It's a rough one. Sorry. But, so that you're in the, are you in the wrong? No, you're just a bad conversationalist. Let's move on to the next one. Is it controlling to expect my fiancé to brush his teeth regularly to avoid triggering my celiac disease?
What?
I struggle for years with vomiting and nausea, as well as other digestive issues. I dismissed as having a sensitive stomach. When my fiancé Mark and I started dating, he urged me to find out the cause of my issues. 6 months ago, I diagnosed with celiac disease. Okay. An autoimmune disorder that is managed through my gluten-free diet. Understood. A lot of people choose gluten-free or low-gluten type of diets because it's better for their stomach. And I'm kind of okay with that. And matter of fact, my mother has supposedly celiac disease. And apparently she pays attention to labels and she has a pretty good health benefit because she follows these guidelines. So understood. Also, you can get it from having like
heavy gluten diets when you're younger, and it basically rears its ugly head as you get older. Anyways, moving on. 6 months ago, gluten-free auto disorder has been managed through a gluten-free diet. Mark has been incredibly supportive, and our kitchen is mostly gluten-free. I can get fairly sick, so we're pretty careful. Okay. There's just one issue. Oh. Sorry, we are pretty careful. There's just one issue. I can get cross-contaminated if he kisses me after eating gluten. And if he does eat, and he eats gluten quite often. It can be resolved if he brushes his teeth thoroughly. But he brushes his teeth only every 2 or 3 days? Wait a minute here. He only brushes his teeth every 2 or 3 days. Mark is a grown man while we've discussed... That's disgusting. Mark is a grown man, and while we've discussed it briefly from a health standpoint, I don't want to be responsible for managing his oral hygiene. That needs to be his responsibility. I don't know where to draw the line, though, without being controlling. Is it reasonable to expect my fiance to brush his teeth after eating gluten, or every morning and evening, or am I accept that I won't be able to kiss him on rare occasions? No, hold on. Forget the celiac disease. Forget. Let's just focus on him. He's not brushing his teeth not twice a day. He's not even brushing his teeth once a day. Daily. You need to brush your teeth at minimum. At fucking bare minimum. Once a day. And if you want to be respectable, twice a day with vitamin C for your body to help reduce the biofilm that basically builds up on your gums and your teeth. So that you can get rid of the captured decay that's on there, the captured bacteria. Mouthwash, too. But he's not even brushing his teeth once a day. Every 2 or 3 days, that is fucking abhorrent. That is absolutely disgusting. I would never, ever consider it. I got rid of a girl once because she had fucking halitosis breath. It's fucking awful. Awful. Everything they say cannot be taken seriously because of the fucking shit that's fucking falling out of their face. It's awful. You can't take them seriously. You can't love them. You can't even be near them because they think they know everything, but they don't realize the fucking crux of hell is coming out of their face. It's awful. One of the best things that ever happened to me was me getting my back teeth, my wisdom teeth pulled. It was so much easier to clean my face. And I brush my teeth 2 or 3 times a day. Okay? So, this to me is a fucking huge red flag. It's absolutely awful. Absolutely awful. So, I'm sorry. Like, honestly, what is worse? Saying the N-word or brushing your teeth every 2 or 3 days? To me... What you say, what by saying it, how you smell when you say it, okay? You could say the most poetic. If you have excellent teeth, beautiful white teeth, and good gums, and you try to convey a joke, it's going to be uncomfortable. But nothing is more uncomfortable than you writing the most beautiful poetic song ever, and the fucking dirt that's coming out of your mouth. As you say, is fucking gross. That is disgusting. It is lazy. And it is irresponsible. I would not even be want to be around you. That is gross. That is so unhealthy for you, not just for your face, but that shit gets into your bloodstream and causes all other kinds of health problems. That is gross. Gross. N-word or gingivitis? Gingivitis wins. Hands down. You can apologize for saying something that maybe was inappropriate, but not if what comes out of your face is essentially worm piss. And that, we have finished this week's full blast 1 hour of Q&A. Thank you very, very much to all those listening, liking, subscribing, supporting, and donating, questions, concerns, comments. You can email me directly through my website. You can also find me on Instagram at @positive_sarcasm. There's many ways to get a hold of me. Audio version of this podcast, anywhere podcasts are available, including Substack, and also video version of this podcast generally is on rumble.com @positive_sarcasm. In the meantime, I finished this hour-long podcast. I'm going to brush my teeth and then take Chase for a walk. Anyways, thank you for listening, liking, subscribing, sharing, watching. Sure, doing that too. Recorded here in the Spare Parts Studios. Brush your teeth. This has been a Positive Sarcasm presentation.